Oh, it's funny. That's really good. In the first service, music just started playing, and I made a joke. I was like, that's usually not my song. My personal theme song is "Eye of the Tiger." That's what plays in my head when I was walking around. That's really funny. I don't want us to miss something that is right in front of our eyes. You know, we've been tracking through the Gospel of John, and today we're in John chapter 6, 15 through 21. Now, it's important for us to learn that the Bible, God's word to us, like Psalm 119, 105 says, His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And it's very important for us to learn to pay attention to God's word on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. And you know, God has led us. I mean, last year we decided, hey, we felt led to go through the Gospel of John. And it's so very noteworthy that today we are focusing on a passage where Jesus calmed a storm, where Jesus intervened in a sudden tragic moment, a sudden tragedy. And you know, it's important for us to recognize the value of the Word of God. We're, as a church, we're going through the Gospel of John together, and God has something to say to us. We're reading through the New Testament together. God has something to say to us. And this is not just today, but it's every day. It's every day that God uses His Word to guide us and to lead us. Today it's evident that He has purposefully prepared us for dealing with a post-storm moment. And I just think it's noteworthy for us to recognize the power of the Word of God. Let's not miss it. I'm so proud of our church. Like this morning at 9 o'clock, we had disaster relief crews meeting out here, and today they are running into helping people, our own people. You know, our disaster relief is a phenomenal ministry that we are a part of, cleaning up after storms with our chainsaw crew, our kitchen crew. And I'm thankful to see this up close and personal in our own community. And all of us, I mean, I don't know how you were last night, but it woke me up. And I was like, all right. And when I turned on the news, I'm like, well, here it comes. So I did like most of you did. I go outside to look at it, right? That's what we do. Where is it? Oh, there it is. You know, but then we realize, all right, this is coming to us. And you know, I think it's noteworthy to recognize, and this is part of our text today, that God is faithful to meet us in the midst of sudden tragedy. That's where we are with the disciples. John 6, turn your Bibles there. And this morning it was fun because Ben Waters is a member of our church, and Ben was sitting right over here on the side, and I said, Ben, I'm about to quote William Lane Craig. It's so intimidating to have Ben Waters in our church. Ben Waters wrote an article that William Lane Craig used as a reference to make his argument for the cosmological proof of the existence of God. Now, if you don't know William Lane Craig, William Lane Craig is like the LeBron James, Michael Jordan, if you will, of Christian thought in our generation. And I think it's he. You ought to Google him. He's got all kinds of debates. He's a kind of a philosopher type apologist, researcher, and is a big dog thinker. And Ben wrote an article that William Lane Craig said, yeah, I'm going to use his article as proof for the cosmological argument for the existence of God. So William Lane Craig is a name you ought to know. You could Google him. He says this, and I want to quote him, the chief purpose of life is not happiness, but the knowledge of God. One reason that the problem of evil seems so puzzling is that we tend to think that if God exists, then his goal for human life is happiness in the world. Difficult times and even suffering and persecution provides an occasion for deeper dependency and trust in God. This is an important idea that a lot of people look at a storm like we saw last night. Well, where's God? In my life, the most difficult times that I've walked through have helped me see that God is the most present and most relevant. This week, I was having lunch with Smokey Hurst, who has preached some here, and he was telling me that, you know, and he kind of said this. We were talking about this passage and about just going through the problem of evil and going through difficult times and sudden tragedy. And he said, you know, the truth is, every person, about every 3 years, will go through a sudden tragedy. And it's interesting about sudden tragedy, they're commonly rare, aren't they? Sudden tragedies don't happen every day, but they often happen to us. We often have to go through moments where we're like, oh my goodness, I didn't see that coming, whether it's a phone call of cancer or whether it's an accident or whether it's a storm last night that we're going, oh my goodness, that's my street. It's coming down my street, it looks like. And here you have in John 6, the disciples were in a sudden tragedy. They had just, like we looked at last week, they just fed the 5,000. They were like, oh my goodness, God has moved so powerfully in front of us. And they fed the 5,000. And now Jesus said, hey, we got a storm brewing here, because the people were decidingly making Jesus king over all the Roman Empire. And there was a groundswell among the crowds. And Jesus goes, hey, look, it's not my time. So he retreated into the woods. And he didn't allow that to happen. And the disciples went and hid out away from the crowd that they had just fed. And then the disciples get in a boat and they go out onto the Sea of Galilee, which is about 6 miles wide, 12 miles long. And they get out on the boat without Jesus. And a storm comes. And it was unexpected. Though it was expected. Because on the Sea of Galilee, they commonly faced storms. But the disciples were afraid. Turn to John 6, 15 through 21, and let's look at this, because it's a really relevant moment for us. Let's stand in honor of God's word and read it together. We're going to read 15 through 21 of chapter 6. It says this, perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea and got into a boat and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, it is I, do not be afraid. And then they were glad to take him into the boat. And immediately the boat was at land to which they were going. And this is the word of the Lord. Thank you. Maybe seated. Now let's think about this. Let's think about what's going on. One of the things you see, and I want us to catch today, you see that the right focus leads you to right thinking, which produces the right response in times of crisis. Look, you're going to go through a crisis. I'm going to go through a crisis. But let's think about this. Let's just consider what the disciples experienced. They didn't have a right focus at first, but God gave them a right focus. And what this right focus did led them to think right, led them to the right kind of thinking, which then produced the right kind of response during a crisis. And I would argue that sometimes when we go through an unexpected tragedy, if we don't have the right focus, it's going to lead you to the wrong thinking, which will lead you to the wrong response. So let's learn from the disciples here, and let's consider what the Bible says. And I'm going to give you some really great verses that I would encourage you to write down that are going to be all throughout the Bible, but I want you to consider what how we have felt during times of crisis, how we might have felt last night as we're sheltering in place. I don't know if you did. I did. We got under our stairs. That was the best option we had. And you know, here we faced a commonly rare experience in Oklahoma. A tornado came down our path. But Proverbs 3, 25 and 26 says this: have no fear of sudden disaster or the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. You know, fear is a natural reaction when we face an unexpected, commonly rare tragedy. But look, you see in this passage something really interesting. Now, this is a miracle that several gospels reference. And as you look at this passage, there's some really cool miracles that took place that I don't want us to miss. In this moment, you see the disciples about 3 miles out into the Sea of Galilee, 3 or 4 miles out, and you see Jesus walking on the water. Okay, folks, that's a miracle. You ever tried when you were a kid? I'm going to go in the pool and walk on the water. I tried that as a kid. It never worked, right? I was a chubby kid, but still, it never worked. But you know, Jesus was walking on the water. Matthew 14 references this miracle, and we know from Matthew 14 that Peter also walked on the water. This was the moment that Matthew records. Now, John and Matthew have different accounts. This is not a problem. This is just two different perspectives and different emphases. But Peter walked on the water. Now, you know the story. He took his eyes off of Jesus and doubted himself, and he sunk. But in this, you see that Jesus and Peter walked on the water. You also see in this is one of those miracles where Jesus calmed the storm. He told the sea, and hey, stop. The wind, stop. The wave, stop. And it stopped. It's a miracle. Then you also notice that there's another miracle of the boat. I mean, the Bible tells us that right when Jesus got in the boat, immediately they were where they were going. Folks, that is a miracle of God. So often people try to explain the hand of God or these stories of Jesus. Oh, well, here's why. Oh, this has natural understandings or explanations. And let me tell you something. God is able to work miracles. And Jesus did that. Now, as you think about these miracles, you see the disciples, they make this shift from fear to faith. And I think there's some lessons that I want us to grab a hold of and consider as we in our lives walk through life. As if it's maybe not exactly true, at every 3 years we'll face some kind of tragedy. But let me tell you something, we will face some tragedies. We will face moments where our fear will need to be turned to faith. And so as a follower of Jesus, how do we do that? What can we learn from the disciples? Well, number one, I think you see in the disciples a rediscovery of the presence of God. And I would say to you and I, as we walk with the Lord, we should rediscover the presence of God. Now, why do I say rediscover the presence of God? Look, the disciples were with Jesus on the miracle of feeding the 5,000, and now he wasn't there, but then they see him. And, you know, I was on a plane last week. I flew to Richmond, Virginia to go to the IMB, and we left Tulsa, and Joel, I always fly American, because if the plane I'm in crashes, you're going to feel really bad because you fixed them all. You know, you guys that work for American fix them all. So, there's an element of confidence in those planes, but I'm on this plane, American Airlines, and we're flying. I had to fly to New York City for a layover and then go to Richmond, and we're flying, and all of a sudden we hit some turbulence, and it was pretty good turbulence. I mean, it was like turbulence, and everybody's like, hey, there's some turbulence. We were clear about this. And this guy in the back of the plane starts going, Jesus, we need you. Jesus, call on Jesus. And which I didn't disagree with him. I didn't. And probably most of the people on the plane didn't either. The pilot then comes on and says, ladies and gentlemen, we're entering some period of turbulence. We are going to dismiss the service or whatever. We're going to let the flight attendant sit down for the remainder of the flight. But it's going to be okay. Now, that's fine. But if the plane's going down, I'm grateful for our pilots. I'm sure he knows what he's doing. But I'll tell you what, if the plane's going down, I need Jesus, not that pilot, right? You know, what that man in the back of the plane was doing that was so wise, he was practicing the presence of God. I would challenge us. When we go through a crisis, it's good and wise to practice the presence of God. When you're in a crisis, let me tell you something, when you're in the middle of it, you need to realize you're not alone. As a follower of Christ, the Lord is with us. He strengthens us. I want to challenge us to really consider practicing the presence of God. The disciples got to see that because here is Jesus comes walking. Matthew 14, it describes this moment, verse 25. It says, in the fourth watch of the night, notice this, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. Verse 27, but immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. John's record of this, he simply says the same thing. But he said to them, it is I. Do not be afraid. There have been times that I've walked through crisis. I've walked through a time where I was genuinely fearful. You may have too. You've gotten that phone call. You got to wait on the test results. You've gotten that phone call of the accident just happened. We all got to see, hey, a storm's on its way. And it's coming. Like last night, forming over the home of my daughter, son-in-law, and two grandkids. I mean, I saw it. I called. Hey. But you know what? To practice the presence of God. Isaiah 43, 2 and 3. Oh, you need to know Isaiah 43. 2 and 3, but when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Why? For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I just want you to feel the power of the presence of God. And the disciples, what they had to have felt as they looked out in the storm, and they don't know if it's Jesus, and they realize it's him, and he's like, hey, it's me. And the comfort that John just articulated as he says, oh, man, it's Jesus. And as Matthew records this, oh, it's Jesus. And as Peter hears, oh, it's Jesus, then let me come out and walk to you. Come on. And Peter walked on the water. Oh, can I just not, let's not miss the power of the presence of God, because when you really are facing a tragedy and a difficult moment and you sit down with the Lord, oh, doesn't he change your perspective? Doesn't it give you like, yeah, it's going to be all right? Let's learn to practice the presence of God. That's why today, as we come to church every Sunday to say, Lord, we're looking to you because you're going to use your word as a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. I'll be honest with you. We mapped this sermon path out last October. I'll just confess to you, I'm not that smart in my own power to go and say, oh, we'll likely have a storm in May, though I think you can say in Oklahoma, we might have a storm in May. But let's just stop together and go, wow, God has moved in front of us by giving us his word exactly when we need it. He did that today. Let me tell you something, he does that every day. Let's not miss that. The disciples, they benefited from the presence of God. There's a second thing that I think they did. They accepted the promises of God. It'd be wise to accept the promises of God. Accept God's promises. And this is something we've determined to do. I was with Smokey this week, and he mentioned a quote by Mark Twain. I've never heard of it. I've not studied much of Mark Twain outside of whatever that other book he wrote. I can't remember. I read it like in middle school. Huck Finn. Yes, thank you very much. I read that. But Mark Twain was quoted as this. He said, someone asked him, do you struggle with the things in the Bible that you don't understand? And he said, no, I don't struggle with that at all. What I struggle with a lot are the things I do understand. That's what I struggle with the Bible. It's the things that I understand clearly that I should do that I don't want to do. That's what I struggle with. And I'll tell you, it's so valuable for us to accept the promises of God. This is what leads us to the right thinking. When I allow God's word, God's presence, and then God's word to shape the way I think, it leads me to a better response. And so it's important for us to accept the promises of God. Psalm 112, 6 through 8 says this, "For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph over his adversaries." And I think this psalm is so very powerful as you consider trusting in the Lord. Notice this in verse 7. His heart, he's not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting the Lord. And this is what it means, that we have peace and calm. We've set our heart to trusting in the Lord. And the disciples were in the middle of this, learning to set their heart to trust in Jesus. And I would say to us, it is important for us to set our heart, saying, God, we will determine to trust you. And then he says, look, verse 8, his heart is steady. Your heart will be steady. It will not. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumphs on his adversaries. Let me tell you, we live by faith and we're called to this. And I think it's fascinating as they watched Jesus with his words rebuke the wind and it stopped. And they were like, whoa, the word of God is powerful. The words of Jesus are powerful. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the word of God. And we live at a time in history where we've been able to God gave us the gift of his word. And we recognized God's word as authoritative, shaping the way we think, impacting the way we live. And I'll tell you, I pray that we accept the promises of God. And when you do, you will find stability regardless of your circumstances. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4 says this, "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock." You realize that, right? That God's given you promises that will never fail. The disciples learned this. And we as disciples in 2024 must continually learn this. There's a third thing. They looked for the purposes of God. And I would challenge us in the midst of sudden tragedy and when sudden tragedy comes to look for the purposes of God. you know, look from God's viewpoint during a crisis. Look at what God's doing. God is purposeful. He uses trials. I think about the trials I've gone through in my life. I look at the trials of people that I'm seeing in our church. I was with Wayne Yeckley this week. You know what he's learned through his, he's a member of our church, and I'm not ready for Wayne to be sick. He's impacted my life. And I told him today, look, I need you to keep your head here. Trust the Lord here. I need you here. But you know what I've learned about a Wayne Yeckley is he's battle tested. And you know, we go through trials to teach us that God can be trusted. I memorized 1 Peter chapter 1 not too long ago, or a little bit ago, but verses 6 and 7 says, in this you greatly rejoice. In this movement of God in our lives, in this understanding of God in our lives, we greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, you may have to suffer grief through all kinds of trials. Peter writes, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold. That's what he calls our faith. The faith in Christ is of greater worth than gold, which perishes, though refined by fire, may be proved genuine, and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So let's consider that what Peter writes there, that trials that we go through, they have a purpose. God has a purpose in trials. And for us to recognize that the faith we have in the Lord is of greater worth than gold. And unless we go through the fire, unless we go through difficulty, we're not going to realize that. And I get frustrated at the argument that a lost world comes. Where was God when that tragedy happened? Why did God let that happen to you? Why do bad things happen to good people? Let me tell you something. God allows trials to come because he's developing faith in us. And I'll tell you, the darkest times in my life have been some of the most powerful moments with the Lord that I've ever known. And you know, the truth is, we really don't know what we're like, what our faith is like until the roof caves in, right? We really don't know what kind of person we are until we've gone through the fire. Trials reveal our character. Trials reveal how mature we are. Trials reveal how secure our faith is. And I just want us to recognize that in the midst of trials, God has a purpose. And it's important when we go through sudden tragedy, not if, when. Look, Christ will one day be revealed. And when he is revealed, notice what Peter said, it will result in praise, glory, and honor of both God and us. I think we'll stand before the Lord and go, Lord, it was worth it to trust you. So it's valuable in the midst of a trial to ask, Lord, what do you want to teach me through this? Lord, what do you want to teach me about myself? What do I learn about you through this? What do you want to teach me about my life? Do you know the stories that we tell our kids and our grandkids? It's the stories that we endure. You know, it's powerful for your marriage to endure. You might go, oh, Chris, we have a tough marriage. Work through it. Trust the Lord. Dig into it. That's a story worth writing. Look, God gives strength and faith in the midst of trials. Open your heart in times of crisis and seek the purposes of God. I'll be honest with you, there's some purposes I won't know till I get to heaven. But let me tell you something. God is at work through every trial. The Bible is clear on this. Romans 12, James 1, over and over again. We see God has a purpose in every trial. The last thing I think you see the disciples doing here, you know, they not only rediscovered the presence of God, they not only accepted the promises of God, they learned to look through the purposes of God, but you know what else they did? They learned to depend on the power of God. And this is something that's available to you, that you can genuinely and really depend on the power of God. Notice verse 21 in chapter 6, in John 6. Look at this. They were glad to take him into the boat. They were glad. Oh, it's Jesus. Get in the boat. Oh, thank you. Lord, you came to us. And this is what God does in the midst of trials. He comes to you. And this is what the Lord does. And the disciples right here were glad to take him into the boat because when Jesus was there, oh man, it's going to be all right. And the same is true for us today. Immediately, and let's notice this, immediately the boat was at land to which they were going. So God solved all the problems. Christ fixed things and made everything right. And this is true about what the Lord says. And you know, I think over and over again, you see God in the middle of the lives of his people giving strength and rescuing during trials. Notice 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 10. This just caught my head and my eye this week. And Paul writes this. He says, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia." So he goes on this mission trip to Asia, and they faced affliction. That's a strong word. Affliction. He says, "For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself." He's like, man, we wanted to give up. This is beyond our strength. Indeed, verse 9, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But notice what he says, "But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He delivered us from such deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again." You see Paul in the midst of this really terrible situation, but he was learning, look, we got to learn to trust you, Lord, not ourselves. And this is the benefit of trials, of a storm like last night, of the difficulties that will come into our lives, not if they come, but when they come, because it teaches us our need to depend on the Lord. And let's understand just the narrative here. The disciples had just fed 5,000 people, and they had watched the Lord take just 5 loaves and 2 fish. And they were like, oh my goodness, they saw this multiplication happen. And they were like, and they were a part of it. Wouldn't it have been easy for them to get cocky and go, look what we did? Man, we killed that one. That was amazing, 12 baskets full. But here, immediately God teaches them, hey boys, you need me every day. And let's not forget, we need the Lord every day. We need to live in his power. There will be times that we will be utterly beyond strength, but God will be faithful. And just like Paul learned, he will deliver us over and over again. And so let's recognize when, not if, sudden tragedy comes. There is real power that God gives. You know, I just think about those disciples in that storm. They had been on the water before. It wasn't like they were new to boats. Peter was a professional fisherman, but yet it was a storm and they were nervous. And yet Jesus came and calmed it. He came to them. You know, if I can just summarize this whole thing today, I think it's this. We fear too much because we trust God too little. And the more I trust God, I'm discovering the less I'm afraid. We fear too much because we trust God too little. And the more I learn to trust God, I find the less I'm afraid. Look, I want to run to the Lord every day. I want to look at his word every day. And it's so very important for us on this day to recognize that God's word meets us where we are. The reason we're in John 6, 15 through 21, on a day after most of us were up at night, God uses his word as a lamp to our feet, not just today, but every day. Let's not miss this. You know, John 16, 33 is one of my lifelong wrestling verses. We're going to get to it soon. But Jesus said this, I've told you these things that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have trouble. But take heart, because I've overcome the world. Folks, God has moved among us. You can trust him. And you know where this starts? This starts with a relationship with Jesus. You know, this week, Monday, I had a friend call me. I hadn't talked to him in a long time. But he calls me, and he's a guy in my life 10 years ago or so. And I hadn't talked to him really since Little League Baseball with my son. And he calls me and says, hey, Chris, can I call you? And he said, I got a Bible. It's my first Bible that I've ever been given in my life. He goes, all I know is I need what this says. But where do I start? I said, oh, man, thank you for calling me. It starts with a relationship with God. And I simply walked through what it meant to be saved. And I looked at it. I said to him, I was on the phone. I said to him, do you want to do that now? Do you want to come to Jesus now? And he goes, yeah, I do. I want to come to Jesus now. And I was like, then here's what that looks like. And right there, he prayed to receive Christ. I gave him a book, and we've been walking this week, and he and his wife are going to jump into one of our classes here, and we're going to walk with him. You know where life and hope in the midst of tragedy, it begins with a relationship with God. You need him. And now once you come to know him, you learn to walk with him and trust him. Do you know Jesus today? Oh, that's where it starts. That's where peace starts. That's where hope starts. That's where power starts. Come to him. You know, we need to pray today. We're going to have an invitation. And we need to pray for some people today. Our disaster relief teams are underway. You know what's cool about that? There's people right now that walked out of their house today in our community. And they walked out and thought, oh, man, where do I start? And at 9 o'clock this morning, like 5 trucks with stuff on it took off. And you know what's going to happen is people are going to be out there trying to gather their stuff, and trucks are going to pull up and go, hey, what's up? Can we help you? Oh, well, how much does it cost? Hey, there's no cost. Here, let us clear this stuff out for you. And I've already gotten text messages of, our teams are already working. I told them it's a good reason to skip church. It's not always good to skip church, but that's a good reason. But oh my goodness. I love it that our team is an answer to someone's prayer they didn't even know they needed to pray until this morning. Let's pray for these divine appointments. Let's pray for God to use us in our own community as we help people. Maybe you're here with some fears. Oh, can I just challenge you? Maybe come and take it to the Lord. Practice the presence of God. Sit with him. Accept his promises. depend on his power. Come to Jesus today. Let's pray today. So I'm going to expect our altars to be filled. You can sit and you're just going to sing. And if it's okay if you don't want to lean, get on your knees. It's okay. Sit in your chair. But let's go to the Lord for people. But here's the thing. If you need Christ today, we'll help you. If you need prayer today, we'll help you. And in fact, there's some people that will pray for you. I'm going to ask them to go around the room. There'll be people standing around. And if you need someone to pray for you, do that. Let's stand where we are. Would you stand? Lord Jesus, we come to you and we pray today that, Lord, we would just not push you away. It's so clear that you have spoken. I thank you for how you use your word as a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. We believe you. We look to you. And Father, in the next few minutes, we want to bring some people to you. Some we know their names, some we don't. Father, I know that you're at work, though, through these storms and these tragedies. I pray for your help. I pray we'd be part of the solution. I pray for maybe someone in this room today that doesn't know you as Savior, that your Holy Spirit would move in their life. God, I love you. I trust you. And we believe you, Jesus. Move us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Josh.